Good morning. Is Tony?
Hello.
Can Tony wave to me?
Hi.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Good morning. It is now 9:30 on Monday, October 26th. I am Victoria Bowman, Chair of the State Board of Massage Therapy. I call the board meeting to order. The chair of the Arizona State Board of Massage reserves the right to change the order of items published on this agenda, except for public hearings set for a specific time. During the board meeting and upon a vote of the majority of a quorum, the board may go into executive session to obtain legal advice from the board's attorney pursuant to Arizona Revised Statute ARS 38-431.03A3 on any items listed on the agenda. All meeting attendees whose presence is not required in an executive session may remain in the board meeting room when the board withdraws to chambers for an executive session. Any and all legal actions by board members will only take place in an open meeting. This meeting is now called to order, and I would like Ms. Cisneros to please do a roll call of the board members.
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Ramsey?
I'm here.
Mr. Ortega?
Ortega?
Doesn't seem to be on the line. Mr. McLean?
Present.
Vice Chair Clark?
Present.
And Chair Bowman?
I have my volume up now, so I'm not sure if we got everybody on. What is the count, Ms. Cisneros?
We do have a quorum, Madam Chair. There are four members present and one absent at the moment.
So I'm sure Mr. Ortega will be on shortly.
Thank you.
Thank you. And so I wish to acknowledge our attorney, Mr. Seamus Monahan. Thank you for being here today. I also wish to acknowledge our board staff, Mr. Augerton, Tony, Mr. White, Ms. Rich. Thank you so much. We have an awesome staff, and I appreciate all that you do for us. Call to the public. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.01H, the board may make an open call to the public during a public meeting subject to reasonable time, 3 minutes, place and manner restrictions to allow individuals to address the public body on any issue within the jurisdiction of the public body. However, members of the board are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. The board, however, may ask staff to review a matter or may ask that a matter be put on a future agenda. Are there any call to publics, Mr. Okay, seeing that there are none, so we will move on to declaration of conflict of interest. So to the board members, on the information and the cases that we have before there, are there any conflicts of interest? Okay, thank you. Review discussion and possible action on board meeting minutes. Is there any discussion and or approval of our massage board open minutes from the September 26, 2020 monthly meeting? Do I have a motion?
John Ortega, I motion we accept the minutes of the meeting.
Emily Clark, second.
Thank you. Ms. Cisneros, will you do a roll call vote, please?
Absolutely. Thank you. Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. The motion passes.
Thank you. And Mr. Ortega, thank you. We now have you listed as present. I appreciate that. We knew you were joining us. Now, consideration, discussion, and possible action on state's motion for continuance regarding the formal hearing in case 20-140 regarding Samuel Cardis. Mr. Augerton, could you give me a little background on that, or should I ask Mr. Monahan?
Madam Chair, I can provide that.
Samuel Cortez was a case that was moved forward to a formal hearing. Complainant was LB. Case was originally set to be heard, I believe, November 23rd. Unfortunately, the complainant is unavailable to testify, and due to the nature of the evidence, it would not be prudent to move forward without her. We will need them to be available at the meeting. I did reach out. I don't think it made it into your board packets, but I will ask the board's investigator, Andrew White, to confirm that we received an email on October 20th at about 5:20 p.m. in which Mr. Cortez agreed to the continuance to move the formal hearing to the December meeting. I believe that's December 14th.
That's correct.
Do we need a motion to that? Do we need a motion to move that?
Please, yes. A motion to continue the matter to the December 14th meeting.
Okay. Is there a motion?
Kevin Ramsey, I move that we make a continuance for... I'm sorry, I only have the printout version in front of me. Will you give me the case number for that one?
Yes, 20-140.
I'm sorry, you cut out a little bit. Will you say that again?
20-140.
Kevin Ramsey, I move that we continue the case number 20-140 to the December board meeting.
Emily Clark, second.
Ms. Cisneros, would you do a roll call vote, please?
Absolutely. Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
The motion passes. Thank you.
Okay. Item 7, items for board review, discussion, and possible action. Upon a vote of a majority of a quorum, the board may go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2. To discuss or consider records exempt by law from public inspection, including the receipt and discussion of information or testimony that is specifically required to be maintained as confidential by state or federal law. So I would like to start with a report by board member Kevin Ramsey on FSMTV.
Sure. I was reached out to from FSMTV to take part in their elections that were going on this year. Unfortunately, there was no replacement for the full presentation and gathering this year. There was only just the elections that were going on. There was a few vacancies that were opening up. And so the position one is incumbent Robin Alexander, who is not affiliated with the state board. She was elected to serve a three-term year on the board of directors. The second position was Sandy Anderson, who is the executive director of the Nevada State Board of Massage Therapy, and she was elected to serve a three-year term on the board of directors. And there were also some other changes. All in all, the entire board of directors is David Cox, who's the president of the board of directors for FSMTB. He is from the Maryland State Board. Vice president is Victoria Drago from Florida. The treasurer is Sandy Anderson from Nevada. There's four total directors: Robin Alexander from Texas, Craig Knowles from Georgia, Diane Layden from North Carolina, Charlene Russell from Mississippi, and ex officio Deborah Persinger from, she is the FSMTB executive director. There were also a few vacancies that were readily available for volunteer positions, and you can find these on the FSMTB website. There are application window is open until November 4th. So this kind of goes out to anybody who's looking to volunteer for this awesome organization that does a lot of help with the state board. There's three positions for volunteer available for continued education. So a course development advisory panel, license renewal committee, and registry review panel. There's four examination positions available, a examination policy committee, in which you must be a member of FSMTB. There's an eligibility review panel, must be a current or former member of FSMTB, examination development committee, and item writers for the MBLEX and MBLEX check, which is the practice exam for the MBLEX. And there are also two positions available for governance. One is on the finance committee and one is on the policy committee. And for both of those positions, you must be a member of FSMTB. Really, that's kind of what my involvement looked like this year, was really kind of reviewing the positions and taking a vote on placement for these. I was a little bummed to see that there were no, presentations or online, kind of meetings to catch everybody up throughout the year. But it's a little understandable seeing how this year has gone for most people. But, we can look forward to hopefully next year we'll bring around, a lot of good material, a lot of good content, and hopefully good, meeting of state officials back and forth. So
thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, it will be nice when perhaps we'd like it to next year to be able to attend. It's wonderful to get together. I know Ms. Clark has attended, and as have I. So thank you for holding our space and bringing us that information. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Report by Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan on consideration of state license revocations in newly criminally convicted licensed therapists. Mr. Monahan, do you want to speak about this at this moment? Or I know we have a time stamp for several of the investigative reviews, so I may not go in order. So do you need to address 7B at this time?
Madam Chair, members of the board, I can do it very quickly. There has been no change right now. Andrew is still continuing to monitor them, and we are in conversation frequently communicating on that issue. So if anything changes, we'll have updates for the board.
Thank you. Okay, investigative reviews. I would like to start with number 6, Michael Cavender. So if we would get our packets out on that one. Okay, so at this time, I do not believe he is on board with our virtual call. So, Ms. Cisneros, would you please give me a complaint summary?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. On August 18th, 2020, the board received notification from the Maricopa County Superior Court indicating that on June 18th, 2020, respondent was convicted of attempted sexual assault, a Class 3 felony. On August 10th, 2020, respondent was ordered to the Maricopa County Jail for confinement. Respondent failed to notify the board of these charges and the subsequent conviction within 10 working days as required by ARS 32-3208. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Mr. Monahan, how do we proceed from here? Obviously, we have a Class 3 felony, and he can't be on the call. So should we go into executive session, or can we just discuss what direction we can go with this?
Well, that's your choice. I would have a question for Investigator Andrew White. Andrew, is he out of jail, or is he still in jail? You're muted.
Turn your mute off.
Mr. White, would you unmute your screen, please? We can't hear you. Please unmute your screen. We can't hear you.
I think he's trying.
Okay.
If we have a class 3 felony presented to us, is there even a reason to have any kind of a hearing versus moving for a motion for revocation?
No, we can't move for a motion for revocation. We would have to go to a formal hearing before we could revoke that license.
Mr. Monahan, can we offer a consent agreement for surrender of license?
You absolutely could, yes. I would just know from Andrew whether he's still incarcerated, because if he is, then, you know, this is another one that we monitor, because we can't provide any due process to somebody who can't participate in the process, if that makes sense.
So if that's the case, then we monitor when he gets out and address the case at that time?
Yes.
So,
did we lose Andrew?
I think we lost Investigator White for the moment. I don't think he figured out how to turn his mute off to come back.
All right, so pending Mr. White coming back on, then the next step would be just to move for a continuance, pending the information on whether or not we know if he's still confined or not.
Yes. And if needed, we could always call an emergency meeting for the purpose of a summary suspension hearing if the board thinks that that's warranted.
So would it be prudent to have a motion that if he is still incarcerated, we will monitor the case until that circumstance changes, and if he has been released, then we offer him a I had the word a minute ago.
Consent for voluntary surrender.
Right. Thank you. Consent for voluntary surrender.
You could offer that right now based on, you know, you just making your motion based on the facts and allegations and the fact that this individual is incarcerated for, you know, felony 3 attempted sexual assault. We move to offer a consent agreement for voluntary surrender. And if not signed, continue this matter until, you know, the licensee is out of jail.
Okay. I will make that motion. Mrs. Cisneros, did you get that?
I sure did, Madam Chair. If I could ask for one point of clarification, what would the board's deadline be for the time for him to sign the consent agreement?
I'd say 30 days.
30 days? Okay.
Yes.
And then we just need a seconder to the motion, please.
Emily Clark, second.
Mrs. Cisneros, will you do a roll call vote?
Absolutely. Thank you. Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega? Mr. Ortega?
Unmute your mic, John.
I can double back to him. Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Mr. Ortega? Okay, we're just going to mark him absent for this vote.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Mr. Ortega. And then Chair Bowman?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion passes.
Thank you. Okay, so let's go to case 3, which is 21-109, Luis Martinez. Mrs. Cisneros, will you read the complaint summary, please?
Absolutely, Madam Chair. Did you first want to call to see if there were any parties on the line for this case?
Thank you. Is Mr. Luis Martinez on the line on this call? If so, please unmute yourself and let us know. Does your phone number end in 08? And could you turn your volume up if...
I think 08 is Mr. Ortega.
That's what I was thinking. Okay.
Yes, that's me.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. And then we have the complainant.
A.S.
A.S., right. And with the initials A.S., is A.S. on the call today?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay, so we do not have, it does not appear that we have Mr. Martinez on the line. We do have the complaint. So, Ms. Cisneros, would you go ahead and read?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. On July 30th, 2020, the board received a complaint from Massage Envy concerning an incident that occurred in 2014. According to the complaint, client A.S. made allegations against the respondent on July 22nd, 2020, stemming from a spa treatment that took place on July 22nd, 2014. A.S. claimed that during a massage therapy session with the respondent, he undraped her front side and exposed her breasts. A.S. stated that respondent questioned her regarding her nipple piercings, massaged her genitalia, and digitally penetrated her, and she could not move. A.S. stated that this continued until the respondent lifted the draping and attempted to perform oral sex on her. A.S. stated that at this point, something caused her to snap out of it, and she said no and got off the table. The respondent was no longer employed by Massage Envy by the time the client filed her complaint with their office, and the complainant also indicated that A.S. received 2 refunds. That concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Mr. Monahan, in light of the fact that we cannot question Mr. Martinez, may we go forward and ask A.S. some questions, or if the board has any questions?
Madam Chair, absolutely. This is a fact-finding mission. It would be prudent to have the licensee here since they're not. I think that the best way forward would be to question the complainant, and then if the board decides to, they can move it forward to a formal interview and ask the licensee to attend.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Are there any board members that would start with questions for AS?
AS, this is Emily Clark, Vice Chair. How long was the massage supposed to be scheduled for?
I believe it was either an hour or an hour and a half. Usually when I got massages from him, I tried to book 90 minutes to get more time in.
Okay. And had you ever experienced anything before this particular incident?
No. No, and I had seen prior, and that was the first time that had ever, anything like that ever even happened.
Okay. How many massages have you had in your lifetime, just a guesstimation?
20-ish? I don't know. I've been a member with them, and I was getting monthly massages pretty regularly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so how often do you normally get them? Just about once a month?
Now? Hardly ever.
Okay. Okay, I'm done for now.
Thank you.
John Ortega, I have a question.
Yes, go ahead, John.
Why did you wait so long to make your complaint?
When it happened, I was pretty shocked and kind of ashamed about it. Because when it was happening, I froze and I laid there. And
We moved away to California, and my husband was at a VA PTSD meeting, and I attended him because it was supposed to be a family-type meeting, like you could bring other people in. And during his PTSD meeting class, the instructor, you hear about fight or flight. I never heard the term freeze used before up until that meeting. And I started crying, and I had to excuse myself, and my husband was pretty confused as to what happened. And I told him, I talked to him about it at home. So once we got home, I finally told my husband what had happened to me. And it was the first time I felt validated for the fact that I was sitting there frozen instead of taking action. So fast forward to now, I was watching some documentaries on TV about sexual assaults and how it's never too late to come forward. And that's when I decided to finally do something about it.
Thank you.
Are there any questions from Mr. Ramsey or Mr. McLean at this time?
No, ma'am.
My questions already were covered.
Mr. Monahan, is there any statute of time on a board case that we know of?
No, there's no statute for anything in the Category 1 crime division, which is anything doing with murder, rape, arson, kidnapping, armed robbery.
Okay. And, excuse me, Madam Chair, Andrew's absolutely correct. The board can hear any complaint that it receives.
Thank you.
I would motion that we would move forward with this. I believe it's case, was it 21? Let's see.
That's 109.
Yeah, 21-109 to a formal hearing.
And would that be based on the potential violations of law and factual allegations provided in the investigatory report?
Yes, sir, and also to hear from the individual themselves.
Okay. And if you wouldn't mind, I noticed there was another potential charge that was not listed. And I believe that would be ARS 32-425-53-15. Engaging in sexual activity with a client.
So, Mr. McLean, would you like to add that one to the complaint?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, Madam Chairman.
Is there a second to the motion?
Emily Clark, I second.
Mrs. Cisneros, would you do a roll call vote, please?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we are moving up on to 10 o'clock. And I do see, is Mr. Winston Chow on the call? If you would either say hello or wave to me. I believe you're on the call. Thank you very much. I do appreciate you. You are from Arizona Language Solutions. You are our interpreter in several of the cases coming up, should we need you. And so thank you so very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And would you, for the record, just give me your name?
Winston Chow, C-H-O-U.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's go now to case number one, which is case 21-107, Feng Ba. Is Ms. Ba on the phone call today? Do we have a representative or an attorney for Ms. Ba?
She, I talked to her and the gentleman that was representing her on Mr. John Wall on Thursday and Friday. They knew about the meeting. They're the ones that requested that they have an interpreter. Her meeting would if she isn't here, it'd be going to a formal hearing anyway, because this is her license her validation was taken back from FSTMB for the right word I say is trickery and test scores.
Sorry, Andrew. I do have presentations for both this case and the next one, which are going to be similar in nature. If it's very brief, if you'd like me to proceed with those.
Yes, one moment. Mr. White, what was the attorney's last name? I didn't get
it. The attorney was a gentleman that was representing her. She couldn't speak English. His name was John Wall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. Thank you. I just wanted the name. Thank you. Okay, Ms. Cisneros, let me ask this of Mr. Monahan. We have two cases that are very similar. Do we need to take each one of them separately?
Yes, Madam Chair, they are separate complaints, so you should take them separately. But you do have the option if you want to move on to 21-108 and just give Feng Ba some time to maybe come on the line. Maybe they're just late today. You could move on to that one and then just come back to it and see if they're here.
Okay. Mr. White, can you make a call to Feng Ba to see if she's going to be on the call? And we will set that one aside. And let's go to case 21-108, which is Hame Lee. And is Ms. Lee on the phone or a representative for her? Seeing none. Okay, so Ms. Cisneros, would you please give us a complaint summary on Feng Ba?
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, that was item two or item number one?
One.
Item number one, Andrew is attempting to make a phone call, so perhaps that will go through. Otherwise, we will handle the complaint as it is, and then we'll move on to Ms. Lee. So the complaint for 21-107.
Perfect. Thank you very much for that clarification. Madam Chair and members of the board, on August 4th, 2020, the board received notification from the FSMTB reporting that the respondent was found to have violated their examination policy, and as a result, respondent's massage and bodywork licensing examination has been invalidated. The MBLEC certification was rescinded from June 30th, 2014, and the respondent is currently in possession of an invalid license. This matter is before the board to consider referring the case to the Office of Administrative Hearings for formal hearing to revoke the license, or as an alternative, to consider offering the respondent a consent agreement for voluntary surrender in lieu of formal proceedings for revocation. Thank you.
Thank you. So again, Mr. Monahan, we can offer a consent agreement for surrender of license, and if they do not respond, then we could have it automatically go to formal hearing. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. Based on the violations and the evidence that we have from FMSTB, I can't remember. I never know how to say that. based on that information, yes, we could move that to a formal hearing. I do think offering the consent agreement is a good idea, as it, you know, basically this will end up in the same scenario. They're not eligible to be licensed. So either way, the licenses will be taken. The voluntary surrender would be an easier way to go.
Right. And so for clarification, she did come into our licensing because of reciprocity, and mm-hmm. that would require a valid FSMTB examination passing score. So,
yes. Very correct.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to offer a consent agreement for surrender of license?
Emily Clark, I make a motion that we offer a consent agreement to surrender license based on the information we just talked about.
Is there a second? Thank you. Mrs. Narrows, could we have a roll call vote?
Absolutely. Before I proceed with that, Madam Chair, if I could ask the motion maker and seconder what the time frame would be for that consent agreement to be signed before proceeding to formal hearing.
Thank you, Andrea.
You got it.
I'd say 30 days or less. 30 days.
Okay.
So we use a standard of 20 days on consent agreements across the board for everyone.
Okay. We'll time frame for 20 days then.
Okay. Thank you.
And is the seconder of that motion okay with that modification?
Yeah, I agree. That's okay.
Thank you. Roll call vote, Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so now we will move on to case 21-108. Ms. Cisneros, will you give us a complaint summary regarding who may leave?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. On August 4th, 2020, the board received notification from the FSMTB reporting that the respondent was found to have violated their examination policy, and as a result, the respondent's massage and bodywork license examination has been invalidated. The MBLEC certification was rescinded from August 8th, 2016, and the respondent is currently in possession of an invalid license. And again, just as similar as the last case, this is here for the board to consider forwarding the matter to formal hearing to revoke the license, or as an alternative, you can offer a consent agreement for voluntary surrender in lieu of those formal proceedings. Thank you.
Very good. And once again, this case came, this license was issued through reciprocity, previously being licensed in Colorado. Okay.
Emily Clark, I'll make a motion that we offer a consent agreement to surrender the license in case number 21-108 for the same reasons.
And what would the time frame on that be?
For 20 days, within 20 days.
To accept the consent agreement?
Yes.
Okay. Or otherwise.
And if not signed, move to a formal hearing?
Or if not signed, move to a formal hearing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there a second?
A second.
Do you have any clarification that you need, Ms. Cisneros?
Thank you. That's perfect. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes,
I made contact with Mr. Wall, and he was trying to call Mrs. Fay, but since we already moved on to that, it was going to go that way anyway, so I don't think she needs to be present.
Okay.
And then I'll talk to him again probably later this week after we get those notices out.
Okay, thank you.
Yes,
and
great, thank you.
Should they not wish to sign the consent agreement, they can be present for a formal hearing.
It appears that both don't even stay in Arizona. The one still stays in Las Vegas, and I think the other one was in California, if I remember correctly.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
Ms. Cisneros, we have a motion on the floor. Would you read the motion to us and then have a roll call vote?
Absolutely. The motion is to offer a consent agreement for the respondent to voluntarily surrender their license. If that is not signed within 20 days, the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing for license revocation.
Thank you.
Roll call vote, Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, Mr. Chow, thank you for being present. We do not need your services any longer. You may stay on if you wish, or you may drop off and go about your day. Thank you so much for being available for interpretation.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, let us move on to case 21-110, Stephen Lopez. Is Mr. Lopez on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. And are you represented by counsel?
I do, yes.
Yes.
Okay, and would counsel please identify themselves?
Yes. Madam Chairperson, Robert Dilk, D-I-L-K, of Willinchek and Bartness.
Thank you. Okay. Ms. Cisneros, would you read a complaint summary on case 21-110?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. On August 18th, 2020, the board received a complaint concerning client RR, who presented to Rubs Massage Studio for a spa treatment. RR alleged that the massage performed by the respondent made her feel uncomfortable and that she felt sexually assaulted. RR stated that during the massage, respondent primarily focused on her buttocks and that he went under the sheet and grabbed her buttocks repeatedly. RR stated that when she was on her back, respondent only focused on her chest and that at one point she felt the sheet was so low that her nipples were exposed. RR stated that at one point, respondent leaned over her body and she could feel his erect penis on her arm. RR further alleged that during the massage, respondent rubbed her inner thighs close to her vagina and that she felt too scared to say anything. RR indicated that the massage deviated from other massages she had received in the past and that the draping used was a sheer sheet. RR reported the incident to Rubs Massage Studio, the board, as well as Chandler Police. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. I would like to ask if RR is on call today. And if so, please let us know.
Actually, this is Jeff, called JR. this, my daughter actually couldn't make it, so I'm not sure if I'm allowed to or what.
Okay,
I'm
so
representative. I was in a sense involved because I paid for it and I actually had the massage before her. So.
Are you an attorney?
No.
No, okay. So thank you for being on the call.
Sure.
Don't believe we can ask you questions, but I appreciate you being here. And if we need clarification, we'll check with counsel and see how we would handle that. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
No problem. Yeah.
Okay. So are there questions from board members for Mr. Lopez?
Well, before we get to that, do we have a second complaint for Mr. Lopez as well?
Yes, we do. I believe we need to take them separately. Is that correct, Mr. Monahan?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay, because we have listed it under the same case number. That's why I was asking.
Mr. McLean, if I could clarify, those are two different case numbers. I just believe because the two clients are familiar with each other, I think that's why their information might be included in both, but there are two separate case numbers. It's 21-110 and 21-111.
Okay. Mine both have the 110. That's why I was asking. All right, I got you. Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome.
If we will look in our packets, please. In the case where AC is the complainant, if your case number is marked 21-110, please remark that as 21-111. Okay. Mr. Lopez, would you like to share with us what occurred in the treatment room?
Yeah, absolutely. So pertaining to this specific session, like the person on the callers, like the person on the line said, he was first. It was the complainant's father. So I kind of introduced myself to her after his session. He kind of told me a little bit about what she needed. On the way back to the treatment room, I do a little informal, like kind of formal, informal interview of, you know, what the session is going to entail, what she needs. And she stated she needed shoulders, her neck, mid-back, low-back, and hips. And then I started the session. I mean, I always tell somebody that that requests like low back or hips or anything to do with neck, mid back. You know, I kind of explain a little bit about the muscles and the muscles I will be working and the muscles I need to be working because of, you know, just compensation and other things. So I always ask if it's okay if I work the glutes. And she said it was okay if I worked her glutes. I make sure and ask if I could work the chest area, and I never really, I say pectoral area and I say upper chest, and I make sure to emphasize that nothing, inappropriate, well, nothing too low, close to the nipple or anything like that will ever happen. And she agreed that chest work was fine. I mean, just to respond to the complaint, I honestly don't feel that I worked too much time on any specific part. I do have a routine that I go through, and the sessions are 50 minutes long. So I honestly thought it was just a regular massage. I was just taken aback by the complaint.
So I need some clarification. You first did a massage on the father, who's on the phone.
Yes, the guy who's on the call. Yeah.
And then immediately after that, you did a massage on RR, his daughter.
Yes.
And then
the third massage is the second complaint.
Was AC. And did RR or AC talk to each other between... Did they actually speak, or did they just pass in the hallway or in the reception room?
So outside of the, there is a hallway, but in the main office, they did speak briefly. Finished. Well, they didn't have to pay, so they just went. They walked up to each other and they said something, and it was probably like maybe a minute, and then I brought the third one back.
Okay. Are there any questions from other board members?
Do we have any notes, or I believe there's a waiver of some sort or a notification if we're doing any brushwork on top of that? I don't see anything in the packets.
Is that directed towards me? I'm sorry.
Yes, Mr. Lopez, for you.
Okay, so yeah, the clinic that I was working for, they do have a intake form, and they have a waiver signed. Due to their privacy policy, I don't really ever see anything other than just like a consent form.
Did you happen to request it when you found out you were having a hearing today?
I did not.
Mr. Lopez, this is Kevin Ramsey. For the intakes and consent paperwork, is it specified for pectoral and gluteal work?
Yeah, I believe so. I don't know for sure. That all has to do with the clinic.
Okay. And can you confirm that verbally and written?
Yeah, I confirm verbally. I make sure to ask, and then when I am working on the area, I check in regularly.
And I believe what we have in our packets, it says client's approximate age. And I think I read it was either this one or the next one. Can you confirm the age of the complainant?
I can
if you'd like. This is her father.
Yes. Mr. Monahan, may I ask the father of the complainant his daughter's age? Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir. Please. How old was your daughter at the time of this massage?
Yeah, she was 18. And I can also say, because I got one right before, that I didn't have the same experience at all. So if he has if he does the same routine, it was nothing like what she came home telling me. So,
and could you give me the approximate age of the other person that you purchased the massage for?
Yeah, she's on here. 22. Olivia will tell you.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. Oops, or a.
Is this the first massage that your daughter has had?
Oh, no.
She's had other massages?
Yeah. Yeah, she's a competitive soccer player, so she's had them her whole life.
For Mr. Lopez, this is Nick McLean again. For the form regarding breast work, would you not be the person responsible for filling it out since you're the one finding out what care that the client is going to be requiring?
Well, I don't think it's a form for like breast work per se. It's just kind of just a confirmation that I'll be working on the pecs or like glute area.
Okay, so are you not the person responsible for filling that out?
I really only see like a small form that has their name and that they signed that this work is consented to, and that then I sign it. That's really all I see.
So the client doesn't sign this form?
No, they do. They do.
Okay. So on this case, did you present the client with that form, an explanation of the work, and did you then have them sign it and you sign it?
I don't actually have them sign the paperwork. The front desk does all that. And then when they're all in the room getting ready, then I go back to the front desk and sign what I need to sign.
Mr. Lopez?
It's more of like a verbal confirmation for me.
Mr. Lopez, this is Emily Clark, Vice Chair. Is the consent for this kind of work, is it done electronically or is it done by way of hard copy paper?
No, there's a piece of paper. There's paper.
Okay. Did you have any soap notes that you wrote up regarding the massage for any of these three clients?
So they don't have like actual soap note. They have like a dry erase board, and they didn't use it at the time because of COVID or whatever. They don't want you passing back and forth stuff. That's what they use, and we erase it after every session.
Nice.
So, Mr. Lopez, what documentation would you actually have that a client ever received your services? And on top of that, what would you have to refer to if they were a repeat client?
Personally, nothing. I mean, that's all has to do with the clinic. And I mean, if they, it's all on me. If I remember somebody, and usually what I do.
Madam Chair?
Yes,
Mr. Once the complaint came in, I called the spa, and they didn't keep, they didn't have notes or any type available for us to get. So I don't know what he was talking about earlier.
Okay.
The city says they're on a race board, so it's not a collection of notes that can be handed out after that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
So, does anyone on the board have any further questions for Mr. Lopez?
Mr. Lopez, this is Kevin Ramsey, professional member. I'm just going to ask for clarification from the complainant side. Would you describe, how much time you spent around the hips and the gluteal muscles?
I would say no more than like 7 minutes. I mean, I do about 20 minutes on 20 to 30 minutes on the back, strictly on the back. And then the lower part of the body is probably like altogether another 15 minutes on each side. Yeah.
At any time, did you adjust the client's undergarments?
Well, I do. Anything, just move the underwear strap either higher or lower on the hip to adjust for, you know, just to reach the area without. And I kind of, not really like tuck the sheet in, but move the sheet and the undergarment as one at the same time.
There's also a portion here where RR states that your erect penis was rubbing against her body during the massage. What sort of, what do you have to say about that one?
Well, I mean, I would say that's absolutely not true. And I really couldn't even think about a position I would be in because, you know, I'm trained in such a way to avoid anything, any kind of confusion like that. I mean, working on the left side, my hand or my whole body, my whole right side is against the table. So, I mean, and I don't work cross body. So it really wouldn't, you know, I don't know where the confusion comes from.
Do you wear a holster for your lotion or oil bottle?
I put my lotion in my back pocket, lotion bottle in my back pocket.
Okay. Will you please describe what your pectoral drape looks like? Just give us a step-by-step.
Yeah, so I'm facing towards the head with my, I'm facing towards the head. I grab one of the arms out, and I'm sorry, it's just hard to explain. It's more just easier to do. But I'll bring the arm out to the side, like in a wing motion, put the sheet down, tuck it in a little bit, and then put the armpit down, like put it in the armpit. So it's actually really tight. So this is anything like this is just not, it wouldn't happen. Nothing would even come close to, you know, popping out or just being able to touch.
Is there just a sheet as the top barrier? Is there any like blanket or towel?
No. So, I mean, this has to do with the instruction of the clinic. Because of COVID, we don't wash the sheet, our blankets over after every session, so they're not allowed to be used. So I was instructed just to use a plain sheet, but that's not by no means me trying to like see anything. I mean, that's just what I was told to do. I would have used another sheet if they wanted. I would have used 10 sheets if they wanted.
And then will you describe how do you secure the leg drape?
Sorry, go ahead.
No, excuse me. There are several different methods to drape the leg. Where you just kind of describe what that looks like.
So just pertaining to like, if I'm working on the hamstrings, I will, I lift the leg up and I don't know what the drape is called, but I mean, I'll maneuver the sheet in between the hamstring or like in front of the quad and wrap it around the hip. And I will make sure it's absolutely tight in the places that it needs to be tight. That's usually how I drape that part of the area. And then if if I'm working on the glutes, I'll drape it diagonally. And I will even do a half body drape, but I didn't do it on them because they were wearing undergarments. So.
Okay, my last question for techniques involving, say, the upper thighs and the gluteal muscles, what tools do you use? So hands, knuckles, forearms, things like this. What do you use to apply the different techniques that you're using?
So I do a number of different. I'll use, if I'm doing myofascial, like if I'm trying to get in between the fascia of the hamstrings, I will use a fingertips just to try and, you know, get in between that. I'll grab and try and strip out the muscles, especially if they're tight. I typically use elbows on glutes just so there's no like confusion of that I am trying to grab. And like I said, if I use my fingers or my hands, it's usually my fingertips.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ortega, do you have any questions at this time?
No, I don't.
Mr. McLean, do you have any further questions?
More for the board members in regards to whether or not there's a requirement for documentation for a process, or is this up to individual establishments?
We are not required to keep soap notes. We are encouraged to keep soap notes.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. I have no other questions, ma'am.
Ms. Clark, do you have any further questions? So where would we like to go with this case?
In my eyes, you know, without documentation, it's really hard to say one way or the other. You know, with the techniques that he kind of described that were used in the draping methods sound like they are, you know, secure. And with no heavier layer over the top sheet, it can feel more exposing than it is. However, you know, I can definitely see with the techniques that were described, I can see how the interpretation of the work could feel as like a grab or you know, sort of inappropriate. But with no documentation, it's really hard to say, you know, one way or the other. And like we've discussed in prior board meetings, you know, when you're receiving a massage, kind of your sense of touch is a little bit heightened, and it could be even, you know, with your eyes closed and you know, the lights dimmed, you're kind of feeling quite a bit more than you usually would be paying attention to. So, I mean, it's hard for me to say one way or the other.
Ms. Clark?
Yes.
As a professional member.
I agree with Mr. Ramsey. A lot of times, just having one layer of covering over top of a body with or without boundaries underneath, it can appear or feel as if it's skin to skin when the therapist touches the client. Without having proper documentation, in defense of Mr. Lopez, for his defense, it's really kind of difficult to come to any firm conclusions. And I also feel that given the age of the plaintiff, I think we would need to actually hear from them, their side. Because it feels to me like having her father testify for her is like a third party. And unless she's got counsel, I think we need to move this forward to a formal hearing.
Formal hearing or formal interview?
Formal interview, I'm sorry.
So I would like to weigh in and say that most sheets that we use on massage tables aren't skimpy, and that if need be, the top sheet can be folded over and tucked such that there would be more than one layer covering body parts. And I think a professional massage therapist should know how to make the person comfortable. I would very much like to hear from RR concerning this, and so I would move that we take this to formal interview. Mr. Monahan, do I need to add anything to that?
If you could just base that on the potential violations of law and the factual allegations in the investigatory report.
So I will base that motion on, I know you gave me a new sheet that I could base this on the alleged allegations and the conclusions of law?
The potential violations.
Potential violations and conclusions of law. Is there a second?
Emily Clark, second.
Ms. Cisneros, would you take a roll call vote, please?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
That's unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. So, board staff will notify you of that time and place for that formal interview.
So Madam Chair?
Yes.
I apologize for interrupting you. Also, it might be prudent, depending on where you're going with this next case, to when you make your motion to potentially make a motion to consolidate the cases for formal interview purposes, if you decide that you want to move forward with formal interview on the second case as well.
Okay, and so we would do that in the motion. Should there be a motion on case 21-111, we could ask that it be consolidated.
If you're going down that road with the second case, yes, you can ask the two cases to be consolidated for formal interview purposes.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let us move on now to case 21-111 regarding Stephen Lopez, and the complainant is AC. Is AC on the phone at this time? Has she joined the webinar?
Present.
Okay, thank you very much. So if you will hang on and be available for some questions, I would appreciate that. Ms. Cisneros, would you please give us a complaint summary on this case?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. Did you want to first confirm that the respondent and his counsel are still part of the call?
Yes. Mr. Lopez, are you still on the call?
Yes, still here.
Okay. And Mr. Dilk, are you still present? Attorney Robert Dilk? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. On August 18th, 2020, the board received a complaint concerning client AC, who presented to Rubs Massage Studio for a spa treatment. AC alleged that the massage performed by the respondent made her feel uncomfortable and that she felt sexually assaulted. AC stated that respondent did not keep her covered and she felt totally uncomfortable and exposed, and that respondent primarily focused on her buttocks and was under the sheet the whole time. AC stated that during the massage, respondent grabbed near her vagina on the sides, pressed really hard, and then proceeded to go back to grabbing her buttocks. AC stated that respondent leaned over her body during the massage and she could feel his penis on her hand and leg. AC stated that she had never had such an experience during past massages and that she felt physical and sexually assaulted and violated. AC felt that the massage was more for the respondent's enjoyment than hers and reported the incident to the staff at Rubs Massage Studio as well as the board. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Lopez, would you like to give us an overview of what happened in the massage room?
Yeah, it was a pretty basic massage. I'm pretty taken aback by these allegations. Like I said, it was just a pretty basic massage. Give me a second. Sorry. I took her back after finishing the second massage and did the interview. She said, you know, that she had a child and that messed up her low back and stuff like that. So I did make sure to, say that I'll work your glutes, make sure that was okay. She complained. I can't really recall the third one. I honestly don't feel like I worked too much time on anything specific. And like I said before, I don't lean over the table. I don't work cross body, so there's no confusion of that anything like that would ever happen. I don't know.
Okay, thank you. Are there any board members that have any questions for Mr. Lopez at this time?
Madam Chair, I noticed in our packets for both of these cases that the description of the events were identical. I believe it was Mr. Lopez's statements in the description of the event, and they look identical to me for both of these cases. So I don't know if we're missing something or if something was omitted by accident.
No, this is, the third of three people that were together.
I understand that, but unfortunately, two different people should have two different descriptions of what transpired in the room.
I agree too. And like this just goes, I mean, I don't want to speculate on what's going on here, but R's dad, who's on the phone now, was the first client, prepaid for the two other massages and stated that to the front desk that he didn't know who the other two were going to be when he bought them. And that after his massage, they would be here. We would have more information on who would know. And then I worked on his daughter, and then I worked on his girlfriend's daughter, which is AA. That's just the gist of the situation.
So, Ms. Clark, I do not see these cases as identical. I do see similarities, but in the case of AC, there are comments that he grabbed AC's hair and throat while running his hands down her body, and that also scratching her body with his fingernails. So there were similarities, but they are not what I would consider identical.
No, it's the description of the event in our packet that seems to be identical.
His comment?
Yes. His description of the event seems to be identical, so that maybe that one paper was included in both of these packets instead of two separate events, his statement.
Right.
I got one paper.
Right. So he answered both cases with one comment.
Right. Gotcha. Okay.
Right. But the description of the complaints are not identical.
Yeah, that much I realize.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Lopez, do you have something further to say at this moment?
In what regard? Regarding to what I'm saying? Just that everything encompassed, I guess I don't have anything else to say now.
Okay. Are there any other board members that have a question for Mr. Lopez? Okay, so AC, if you're available now, do any board members have a question for AC? Mr. McLean, unmute yourself, please, and you can have the floor first.
Thank you.
Thank you.
AC, you mentioned in your statement that he scratched you with his fingernails. Do you happen to have any photographs in regards to that, or did the other two individuals that were at the session see these marks on you?
No, they did not see the marks on me. It was on my backside. And I do want to state, he mentioned that I said that I wanted my lower back, but that is not true. I mentioned to him that my upper back and my shoulders I would like to focus on. I told him my lower back hurts because of my epidural, so to not focus on that area because it is tender. But when he would rub my butt, he was under the sheet, and then after he would rub it multiple times with his full hand grabbing, he would then, after he rubbed, he would scratch his, like, take his nails. It wasn't hard or anything, but he would take his nails and take them all the way to my feet, and then run his hands back up and continue the massaging my butt.
Okay. So nothing that left a mark as far as like an actual scratch versus his technique of using his fingernails.
No, there was no mark. It was on my back, but I didn't look.
And you've had massages in the past, correct?
Yes, sir. And I don't know if I can touch on him also talking about not going cross-body, because he did. When he had asked me to flip onto my backside, he went across my body, took his elbow into my inner thigh, and kept doing like pressure points, and he was over my entire body using his force to put his elbow into my body. Also, I would like to mention that the lights were not dim when he came back into my room. There was only one sheet. Again, this is nothing that I have experienced in a massage before. And he did not keep me covered. He did not do the drapes. It was all just laying on, and the sheet would move as he was de-grabbing or moving.
Okay. Aside from the technique with his draping, how was this different from other massages you received in the past?
Well, when I had usually gone in, there was multiple sheets. They kept me feeling comfortable. They kept it secured. Whenever they would go to the glutes area, it was covered completely. Even being a female, she would keep it covered and rub on the outside of the sheet. If it was any part of that, she would not move. This was my first incident with a male masseuse, and so...
Okay, thank you.
This is Kevin Ramsey. AC, I have just a couple of questions for you. And just to clarify, did you sign, a paper before receiving your session, kind of identifying what your massage therapy needs were, and also a consent form describing the areas that were going to be worked on that you gave consent for?
The only thing I signed consent for was in the beginning asking me if I was pregnant or on medicine or anything of that sort. They had like a paper on saying what I wanted, and I did say upper back and shoulders.
But you don't sign anything saying like it's okay to work on my pectorals or on my gluteals, anything like this?
No.
Okay. And then one more. Will you clarify? Here it says, while massaging her buttocks, Lopez grabbed your hair and throat. Will you just kind of give us an idea? Were you lying on your stomach face down? Were you on your back? And kind of in what manner was that? How did you feel that?
So there was two parts of when he had grabbed my hair and my neck. He had kind of tickled up my back and my arms, and then he would grab from like the bottom of my head up and then like pull my hair. And then when I also flipped over, when he was kind of massaging closer to my breast and then up to my neck, he would just continuously pull my hair, and then he would take his hand and kind of do like a choking motion, rub, and then it would go back to my hair.
Thank you for that clarification.
And may I also add, Rachel, or RR did not, we did not talk. All she did was she walked out, and I said, how was it? And she's like, good. And she just walked out the door. We didn't talk, and she just left in a hurry. She was kind of in a panic and left the door. There was a lady sitting at the front desk, and she had asked how her massage was, and Rachel just had left in a hurry. And that was the same thing with me. After I got done with the massage, I hurried up, left and then drove to my mom's boyfriend's house, and I was panicking, and I had told them, and RR was already talking to them, and she's like, it happened to you? And so we didn't have a conversation until we had both gotten back to the house and both panicking.
Ms. AC, I would like to ask a couple of questions. May I ask how old you are?
I'm 22.
Okay. And have you had massages in your life prior to this one?
Yes, I have.
And how many approximately have you had? And, you know, for what reasons did you do massage?
About three. And they've just been gifted to me. My mom has gotten me them for birthdays or Christmas. And when I went, I have really bad upper back problems and shoulder problems, and that's always been the area I've told them, just my, between like my head, neck, and shoulders, kind of upper back. That's everything I've ever told any of them. I don't run. I'm not a soccer player, nothing. So nothing in the legs or glutes or anything like that.
Okay, so you basically got massages for therapeutic and relaxation.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Ms. Clark, do you have any questions of AC at this time? And Mr. Ortega, do you have any questions at this time?
None at this time.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Chair Bowman. I don't have any questions. I was on mute, and I apologize.
That's okay. Does any board member have any further questions for Mr. Lopez?
No, ma'am.
No.
So... I personally would like to consolidate this case with case 21-110 and move it to formal interview. Based on the alleged, I'm going to say this right, Mr. Monahan.
Madam Chair, that would be based on the potential violations of law and factual allegations as indicated in the investigative report.
Thank you. Potential.
Thank you.
Okay. That's going to be my motion.
Emily Clark, second.
Thank you. Let's have a roll call. Ms. Cisneros, would you read the motion on the table?
Absolutely, Madam Chair. You have moved to consolidate this matter with the prior case and proceed to formal interview, and that is based on the potential violations of law and factual allegations in the investigative report.
Thank you. Let's have a roll call vote, please.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
No.
Mr. McClain?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion passes with one against.
Thank you. Board staff will inform you, Mr. Lopez, of the upcoming formal interview.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your time. Have a good morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We have one final case. That is 21-113, Fabian Garcia.
Madam Chair, would you mind if we just took a 5-minute break? I need to use the restroom real quick.
I think that's a wonderful idea. It is now almost 10:55. We will take a 5-minute break and resume at 11 o'clock. Thank you.
Mr. Augerton, I have a question for you, sir.
Yes, sir.
If I have a question about the processes or something that we're doing in here, what's the best way to address that?
You mean during the session or offline?
Either way.
Offline, we can arrange for a telephone conference with yourself, myself, and Seamus. If you want to have any questions or even be briefed by the AG on how we do things with the board. And then if you have obviously any legal questions during session, you can certainly pose those to Seamus as well. Does that answer your question, or you're referring to something else?
No, that addresses it. I'll shoot you an email when we get done.
Okay, sir.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.
Okay. It is now 11 o'clock, and the Arizona State Board of Massage Therapy has now resumed. Okay, thank you. That was a much-needed break. I appreciate that, Mr. Monahan. Okay, let us move now to case 21-113, Fabian Garcia. Is Mr. Garcia on the call? And I do not get a yes. Is there counsel on the call for Mr. Garcia? Okay. Ms. Cisneros, would you give us an overview of this case?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. On September 3rd, 2020, the board received a complaint concerning client DS, who presented to Elements Massage on September 1st of this year for a spa treatment. DS stated that respondent was massaging her left leg while she laid in the prone position, covered with a sheet with only her left leg exposed. During the massage, respondent removed the sheet to expose DS's entire buttocks and pulled the backside of her underwear down below her buttocks. DS stated that respondent proceeded to place his hand in between her legs until his fingertips were resting on the superior anterior part of her vulva. She stated that respondent applied pressure to her vulva in a circular and pulsing rhythm and asked the client if she wanted him to go deeper. DS stated that she was flustered and asked respondent to reapply pressure to her hips, which he did, but then proceeded to use his right hand again to grab the inside of her left thigh and then again apply a circular pulsing pressure to her anterior vulva. DS stated that she asked respondent to press on her hips in an attempt to get his hands away from her vulva. Respondent snapped her underwear back into place, reapplied the sheet, and stated that the session was over. DS reported the incident to Elements Massage, the board, as well as the Phoenix Police Department. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. DS, by any chance, are you on the call at this time?
Yeah, she's on there.
She is on the call?
Yes.
Okay. So I would appreciate it if you could be available for questions. So if you would, please unmute yourself and let me know.
Well, the LMT is also on there also.
Mr. Garcia is on the phone?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Garcia, would you unmute yourself so we can ask you some questions? Oh.
Madam Chair, is the complainant on the phone?
I have heard that, yes, Mr. White said she is on, but I haven't had either one click on my screen so that I know where they are.
I'm gonna call him real quick and have him unmute.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So DS just sent a message that she's going to drop off the call and come back on because she's having trouble unmuting. So she should be on in a moment. And Mr. Garcia, if you would attempt to unmute, or if you're having problems, again, you can drop off. Okay, DS has now rejoined. Would you please say hello, DS, so I know who you are on the call on my page?
Hi there. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. Thank you very much. Okay.
Yeah, he said that he had to drop off too and come back in.
Okay.
Just after meeting, so he should be coming right back in.
Okay. Very good. We'll give him a moment. For being hands-on people in our profession, we are becoming techie. So.
Hello?
Yes. Okay. Mr. Garcia?
Yes.
Would you please explain to us what occurred in this session?
Yes, September 26th. Well, she walked in and she told me that she needed a massage. She had problems in her upper back and her lower back. And so we began the massage. It was, I believe, a 1 hour massage or an 80 minute massage. I'm not too certain. But we started the massage. I started on her upper back. I worked my way from her left, the left side of her back to the right side of her back. And then I moved my way to her legs, glutes and legs from her right side. And I moved my way from there to her left side of her left glute and her left leg. And she was wearing underwear. I heard the report. I didn't take off the underwear. I put it down her butt. But I left the underwear. I didn't really touch it. I was doing circular motions with my fist on her glutes. And they were very tight. And her lower glutes, her glutes, to her, all of her glutes, especially towards the pelvis side, the attachments on her pelvis and her glute were really tight. And I know that was playing a role with the upper back, with the lower back. And so I was just focusing there. And I moved on to her left leg, which her hamstrings and her calves. And when I was almost done with that, there was about 5 minutes left, and she had asked me to massage her glutes again because they were very tight. She didn't know how tight they were. And I said, no problem. And so I went and massaged her glute. Same way, same exact way that I was doing, nothing different. And then she asked me to massage her lower back. Her lower back was also hurting. So I went because it was also tight there as well. So I immediately, like 3 minutes left before the massage, I did her lower back as well. And then that was it. She said, thank you so much. That was amazing. And I walked out. And when I walked back in, she thanked me, and I walked her to the front desk, and that was it.
Thank you. Do any board members have questions for Mr. Garcia?
This is Kevin Ramsey. I don't think we have, any paperwork from the establishment, whether it be intake or soap note material.
On the in the packet, it's the only thing they have for soap notes that I offered is look like a 4-line sheet, 1 sheet of paper.
We usually do the soap notes on the computer. If you're looking for soap notes, it'd be best for passing from Elements Massage.
I already have them.
Oh, okay.
What page is that, Mr. White?
I don't put this stuff in the computer, so I wouldn't know.
Okay, no worries.
What do you say it's received from manager Carol Klein on there?
Mr. Garcia, this is Chair Bowman. If you would explain how Elements Massage does an intake with the client, whether it's a first-time appointment or a subsequent appointment, what's their method of bringing them in for a treatment?
Well, the first thing we do when they walk in the door, we give them an intake form telling that if they're allergic to anything, if this is their first massage, what is their occupation, to know where like to focus. If they want a full body massage, if they're okay massaging the face, the breast, the pecs, the glutes, and the feet, we need to have verbal and written consent on those.
Is this form a paper form or is it on like a tablet?
This is on paper, I believe.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Then then they fill out some other information like, if they want a CBD or aromatherapy. And then when they're done with that paperwork, they give it to the front desk and they give it to us. And we review it. And then we bring in the client and we ask them questions, similar questions, like, are you allergic? Just in case they forgot anything. And from there, we ask where do you want me to focus, or where do you need me to focus, or what do you like? It's just full body, general relaxation massage. And then I just be in the massage then. I walk out the room, I have them undress, and that's how that goes.
Thank you.
No problem.
Are there any questions of Mr. Garcia?
Mr. Garcia, this is Kevin Ramsey, professional member. Is this your first time seeing DS as a client?
Seeing, what was that?
Is this your first time seeing this individual as a client?
This is my first time seeing her.
And when you are working in the gluteal and hip region, if a client is still wearing their undergarments, do you still drape back to expose the undergarments, or does your drape stop at the line of the barrier?
Drape exposing the undergarment, but still not passing the gluteal cleft. I wouldn't use lotion when they have an undergarment. I just use compressions, so knuckles, circulars, lotions on the hip and on the glute.
And do you use any techniques that involve your open palm, or is it, like you said, knuckles?
When they're wearing their undergarment, just my knuckles. But when they don't have underwear, I do a little bit of petrissage on the hips and on the a little bit of the glutes, not passing the gluteal cleft, not passing the sheets, of course.
Thank you.
No problem.
Are there any other board members that have questions for Mr. Garcia at this time? Okay, so DS, if you would be available.
Yes.
Are there questions from board members to DS? Okay, and if you're not speaking, if you would mute yourself, please. So
I'd like to add something.
Okay, go ahead.
When I heard about the report that I moved her underwear, the only time I remember moving her underwear and the only time I remember ever moving anyone's underwear is when massaging the back. I move it a little lower to get to the lower back better, to get to the pelvis better. And I ask the client, can I tuck the sheet in the underwear? They say yes, as she said yes. And then I ask, can I move it a little lower to get to your lower back? And they say yes. And that's the only time I moved her underwear.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. Okay, no so problem. Yes. Let's see. I had a question. How long of a massage did you book?
A 90 minutes.
90 minutes? And was this the first time that you had a massage at this facility?
At that facility, yes, but I've had multiple massages from an Elements massage outside of Arizona. That was my first time at that specific location.
Okay, thank you. And do you agree with Mr. Garcia about the intake form?
I signed something, you know, just a general consent form. There were no specific questions about like what I wanted to work on or anything. I don't recall that. Also, I don't
but I wasn't really, you know, there for something specific. It was just more of a therapeutic relaxation thing.
Are there questions for DS from any other board members?
Yes, ma'am. DS, this is Nick McLean. What is different about this compared to massages you've had in the past?
Three things. First thing being how he manipulated the sheets. Generally, when I get massages, the masseuse is very conscious of where they're tucking and folding sheets. And he was very conscious about it all the way through until it got to that last part when I had, like he said, I asked him to, yeah, can you go back and massage my glute? I didn't realize I was so tight back there. Once that happened, he had my right leg was tucked under the sheet, and my left leg was exposed. And then the sheet was covering my entire buttocks. So then, it was covering like the right side. And then he took the whole sheet off so that I no longer had a sheet under my left leg or over my right leg. And then my entire buttocks was exposed. And that was the first like sign that something was about to get weird. And then the second thing would be the manipulation of my underwear, which did absolutely happen. He grabbed my underwear and like with two fingers, it was just like in a very unprofessional manner. And I've had massages where masseuses will manipulate the underwear to help you in the massage. But this was just like, you know, looping it with the index fingers and then pulling it down and hooking it underneath my buttocks. And then the third thing was his open hand manipulation of my inner thigh until it was in between my legs and pulsing on my vulva. So those three things were absolutely different from any other massage I had experienced.
Okay. And when he removed the sheet, he put it up above your waist or he just removed
the sheet? No, it was just like off to the side. I think it was probably just like somewhere around my right calf or like right leg somewhere. But like the right leg had been covered and then he pulled the whole thing back to expose my whole buttocks and left leg and most of the top of my right leg.
Okay, nothing else.
Okay, Ms. Diaz, Chair Bowman, I would like a clarification. When he pulled your underwear down, are you saying that the upper portion of your underwear were between your buttocks and your upper leg?
Yes.
So that your entire buttocks was exposed?
Yes.
Thank you. Are there any other questions from board members for DS?
Emily Clark, DS, how long have you been receiving massages?
My entire adult life. So I guess like 10 years or no, 5 years. I'm 26, however long my adult life is there.
How often do you normally receive massages?
Maybe like 2 a year.
Okay. Have you had both male and female massage therapists in the past?
No, this was my first time I had a male massage therapist. And like I said, I usually only get them, I'm from New Mexico, and so I usually just get them there. I've had a couple in LA. And it's always just been coincidental that it was a female. I've never like checked a preference. And so this was my first time getting massaged by a male. Yeah, when I booked this massage, I didn't book it directly with him. It was just like, you know, whoever was available during the time slot that I booked for.
I think that's all for the moment.
Thank you. Are there any further questions from the board to DS? Are there any further questions from the board to Mr. Garcia?
Mr. Garcia, do you do your soap notes with Elements Massage? Do you complete a soap note thoroughly or briefly for each client?
It's briefly. We just have shortcuts, like not shortcuts, but we have like our log where it tells us like what each number means, and we just put the numbers down. We don't really put paragraphs on there. We just put SOP, like soap, and then subjective. We put what they told us that hurt the most or where the most tension or pain was. And then A, which is adjective, which is what I found. Up, and then O, the objective, which is the homework. And then P, which is the plan, which is when they're going to come back. And I usually just put like 2 weeks, same amount of time, 2 weeks. And that's pretty much it. It's not, it doesn't go in detail.
So you don't really put on your soap notes what the client tells you to do as far as what they're looking for that particular session. And then afterwards, you don't put down what you performed within the.
Yes. Yes. We put what they asked for, what we performed, what we found, and what the homework is.
Okay. How long have you been massaging, Mr. Garcia?
3 years. Graduated 2017, Phoenix College.
Okay. Okay, I'm good.
Can we have discussion as to what the board would like to do regarding case 21-113?
This is John Ortega. Seems to be an issue of misinterpretations that the client seems to feel that something happened, and I know it's incumbent on the therapist to keep the client comfortable. So if it, we could move this for a formal interview, but we could also see if we get a consent agreement for more classes and things of that nature. Anyway, that's my thought on it.
Excuse me, it's not information. My superior anterior vulva was stimulated during that massage.
Excuse me, ma'am, we're having our discussion now. You've already testified. I'm not trying to be rude to you, but you can't. We are in discussion now.
I'm sorry, I did not recognize there was a barrier there.
Thank you, DS.
Board members, yeah. This is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. Just for the benefit of the licensee and respondent, after giving an opportunity to talk, then the board goes into discussion and makes a motion. At that time, there's no more discussion with the respondent or licensee. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Monahan.
Emily Clark here. I feel that there is, similar to what Mr. Ortega was saying, I think there is some lack of proper draping techniques, things that sometimes muscles go from one point of the body to the other and they kind of overlap. There are specific techniques to do what I think maybe Mr. Garcia was trying to do, and possibly, if unless you've got a medical background, and I don't know that DS does, but I'm not sure. It is possible to misunderstand and misinterpret certain movements and strokes, but if the client is properly draped by the therapist, there should be no misunderstanding on the part of the client. And also, I think there's a lack of communication, sufficient communication. And so I think this is, from my point of view, from what we've heard, I think is a big communication gap and draping errors that could be improved with further training. I'm not saying that anything did not happen. I'm sure that something did, but there's always some misinterpretation during a massage that could lead to things being thought of that may or may not have happened. I hope that's understood where I'm coming from here. So I think, we could move this to a formal interview and discuss further. I don't know what the rest of you may feel. That's my thoughts.
This is Nick McLean. I agree with both you and John. I believe additional training is necessary. And hopefully we could get that through an agreement versus moving on to a formal interview where we will hear what we just heard right now. In this profession, I would believe that communication is of the utmost importance, especially if you are dealing, massaging, or treating private areas, so to speak, and making sure the client fully understands what it is that you're doing, why you're doing it, and what the expected outcome would be, because not everybody seems to receive a massage the same way. Not everybody seems to give a massage the same way from what we hear with these hearings. So I think it would be to the benefit of Mr. Garcia to enter into an agreement in which he would accept additional training in regards to draping methods and whatever may be available in regards to communication or ethics.
Mr. Monahan? The question I have is, can we issue a non-disciplinary order for continuing education? It appears that three board members are leaning in that direction. Can we issue that today?
Madam Chair, absolutely. After the initial review, you have all your non-disciplinary options available. And Board Member McLean is correct. You've heard from both parties at this point. You've heard from your investigator. So unless you think you need more information or unless you think this deserves disciplinary action, then you have the option to just dispose of this matter today. I would recommend, instead of an order, maybe a consent agreement, and ask the licensee if they'd be willing to enter into that consent agreement. You always have the option to order if they choose not to enter into it. So, but you could ask them.
Okay.
Mr. Monahan, sorry, Madam Chair. Point of clarification, if it's ordered by the board versus being a consent agreement, does that change whether or not it's discipline versus non-disciplinary continuing education?
No. As long as they order non-disciplinary or a consent agreement for non-disciplinary, that is one of your non-disciplinary options that you can take at this stage. Again, if you want to take discipline, you have to move it forward to a formal interview.
Thank you for that clarification.
No, thank you.
Thank you. So to the board members, if we wish to entertain a consent agreement for a non-disciplinary order with continuing education, would each person weigh in on what they believe would be appropriate?
This is Kevin Ramsey. I'm not in disagreement with other board members that have kind of spoken their piece. My concern weighs on the fact that the complainant is very sure that contact was made with her private areas that are typically very sensitive. And, you know, getting an understanding of, you know, could it have been the sheet tuck or could it have been a misinterpretation of a technique that was used? I kind of find it hard that anything else could have been misinterpreted other than that area. You know, based on what the respondent has said and what the complainant has said, there's a kind of a hard break in this is what I felt and, you know, that this is what was performed in the session. So I'm a little torn between just issuing a non-disciplinary action just on continued ed. Like Mr. McLean said, it is up to the licensee to ensure, you know, strong communication, you know, setting expectations of the work that's being done, and to ensure that the client is comfortable throughout the entire session. And if something is perceived to have, like, come in contact with such a private area, then it's hard to say that nothing did. So that's where my concern lies here. So I'd like to keep that in consideration when we talk about, you know, what we would be approving for consent agreement.
So in the consent agreement, you believe that there should be disciplinary action beyond continuing education?
I mean, I believe so. I find it hard that you know, a draping or a technique could accidentally feel or come in contact with, you know, any part of the genitalia, especially with a high-level professional ensuring that they're, you know, keeping the client's boundaries in mind and that they are, you know, if a client is face down and she feels something on the front of her pelvis, that is, you know, that's I'll be hard-pressed to even understand what else it could be. So in my eyes, you know, just education, I don't think, is enough.
Thank you. Mr. Monahan, can we offer a consent agreement that is disciplinary at this time? Or do we need to go to formal interview?
You could, but it would be more appropriate if you moved it to formal interview if you're not prepared to take non-disciplinary action today.
Okay, thank you. So I'm going to weigh in. I agree with Mr. Ramsey. Maybe it was sloppy draping, maybe it was poor communication, and maybe it was misinterpretation, but it is the professional's job to see that the client is comfortable and safe. And so I would like to move that this case go to formal interview. Okay, help me, Ms. Cisneros, based on...
that would be based on potential violations of law and factual allegations in the investigative report.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll second the motion, Emily Clark.
Could we have a roll call vote, please, Ms. Cisneros?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
No.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
The motion passes with one against. Thank you.
Thank you. So board staff will be in touch with you as we proceed forward to a formal interview. Thank you so much for being available today.
Okay. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Excuse me?
I said thank you so much.
Thank you for attending today as well.
Thank you.
Let us move on to point eight, the executive director's report. Mr. Arton, have you anything to say?
Good morning, Madam Chair. Nothing really to report to you this time, but I hope to have a report for you next time on the response from the Governor's Budget Office to the Board's request for additional funding and then hopefully also to see what the JLBC recommendation was. When we get to future items for discussion, I'd like to get a minute of your time again there.
Okay. Thank you. So, summary of current events. By law, the summary of current events is limited to summarizing recent occurrences. The board cannot propose, discuss, deliberate, or take legal action on any matter in the summary unless the specific matter is properly noticed. And I have nothing to bring up for current events. Discussion and possible action items for future massage board agendas. I think we had a couple of them, and I don't know that we got anybody on board. Mr. Augerton, can you update me on that?
Well, Madam Chair, let me begin with, before I forget, what I was going to suggest to you and the board before we discuss that. So in November, I would like to come back and offer a brief report about the status of the budget request the board made on specific items to the JLBC and to the OSPD, with hopefully the responses from both budget entities by that time. Number two, I would like to bring back to the board the issue of the current board waivers, which you formally approved at your last meeting, which includes the waiver of the license renewal fee for current licensees, as well as the continuing waiver for the 24 hours of continuing education. And at the November meeting, in your packet, I'm going to actually make a specific recommendation on both items. And where that would be going would be, and I can't get into the specifics as we didn't post this, but recommending a transition period for when the hours are reinstated. And I think at the last meeting, the assistant AG advised us that we can't do it piecemeal. It has to be done as an entity. And then the second recommendation would be suggested timing regarding how much longer the waiver would continue because of the pandemic with regard to the $95 fee. So with your indulgence, I'd like to bring those two sub-items and the two larger items to the next board meeting.
Tom, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. I did also want to point out that we definitely need to reach out to the governor's office in order to determine whether we are allowed to cancel those waivers. Now, I won't go much into that, but the language in the administrative order for the waivers basically says, you know, it tracks the executive orders and not until those have been deemed or ceased. So it would be prudent for us to reach out to determine whether we have that authority.
Okay, thank you, Seamus, and thanks, Madam Chair. And I'll get with Seamus offline on making contact with our board's liaison with the ninth floor and then include that information at the next meeting as well.
So I would appreciate a clarification. I believe we were going to make decisions in the December meeting about this transition period. Was that correct?
That's correct, Madam Chair, members of the board. And I'm not necessarily suggesting any change to the original timetable because it'll give us an additional 2 months to see what direction the pandemic is taking here in Arizona. The only caveat would be that whatever the board decides to do going forward, I want to make sure that we have a sufficient notification time for the board licensees. You know, one of the problems we have with this industry is that we don't have the ability to communicate with all 30,000 that are in the database or even the roughly 12,000 that are currently active status. We don't have an online newsletter. We don't have the ability to really completely individually email licensees. So our only source of information is the board website. And there are a number of people that make contact with the board by email and by telephone that for whatever reason don't begin their research with the website. So I have a concern that whatever we end up doing, whatever the board ends up doing in December, that I want to be sure that we anticipate notifying the licensure and also to try to provide as much lead time. For example, and again, I can't get into detail here as Seamus is going to tell me in a second, but I just would remind the board that current statute does permit and rules that they can do their license 60 days out before expiration. So obviously, whenever the date is for the expiration of the fiscal waiver on the license, anybody who's aware of this and who has 60 days left prior to their license, their biennial license expiring, would obviously want to take advantage of that fee waiver. So timing is important as a courtesy, but also as a practical consideration. And that's kind of what I want to emphasize in November, that when you make your decision, you know, we do it with that in mind.
Thank you. So I'm going to request that the November meeting, we do have a thorough and active discussion on how we're going to handle this transition period based on following executive orders from the governor, as well as the transition period for the waiver of the fee and the timing of the license. So if you would see that occurs, I would appreciate it.
Okay. Madam Chair, does anybody on the board have any interest in bringing back the assistant director from the Department of Health Services following the November election and the proposition on possession of marijuana? If the proposition is not successful, then the briefing provided to the board at the last meeting would still be current. If the proposition is approved by the voters at some future meeting, if you'd like to have him back, let me know. Because in one of our calls today, I think you heard one of the representatives of the facilities indicate that they currently provide an option for cannabis products for their clients.
Right.
So if the proposition is approved, you may wish to have the assistant director come back and revisit the issue.
Thank you. So if you would, after the election, why don't you reach out and, if possible, have that individual come forward in either the November or the December meeting.
So okay, thanks, Madam Chair.
Whatever their availability might be. And we can put it out to January if that happens, but sooner rather than later would be my preference.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, so our next Arizona massage...
If I may, Ms. Chair, before we move on, just as a kind of general question, really to Tom, you know, you had mentioned that, like, you know, not many people really start with the board website when looking up information. Is there an availability that we could have licensees kind of list their contact email so that we could also, you know, say when a change does happen, we can, you know, email it out to everyone rather than expecting everyone to be in check every month with the board website updates? We can send out, you know, because I've talked to a number of colleagues that didn't know that the waivers happened until I told them about the movements. And so, you know, if they received something directly from the board, you know, this is what's happening. The time frame is really up until the executive order lasts. And you know, that might be an initial way that, one, they can get updates from the board and know kind of what's going on, but also, you know, reaching out to these licensees that need to appear for the board if their addresses have changed, things like this. Somebody's typically more likely to have the same email address than they are to have other forms of contact information.
I need to stop us right now. Mr. Monahan, are we allowed to have this conversation at this time?
No, thank you. I appreciate that. We are moving into the discussion phase here, so we want to make sure that we hold off. We don't have it properly agendized. We can put it on for next month's right. meeting and have a robust conversation about it. I would agree with that.
Okay, great. So what I'm going to suggest to Mr. Ramsey and Mr. Ogerton is the two of you get together, have a conversation about it, and let's get this also on our November meeting as an action item so that we can have a good discussion about it. So thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair,
yes.
My apologies for interrupting. This is Andrea. Before you proceed to the next agenda item, I just wanted to clarify, at the beginning of the executive director's statement, he had mentioned wanting to provide feedback or a brief report regarding the budget request to those two separate entities in the future. And I just wanted to ask if the board was in approval for that to be added to a future meeting agenda as well.
Yes, it was. Thank you. So he had two points, a budget report and then the waivers. And I would like both of those to be on. And then also to add communication with board members via email if possible. And so that'll be action item 3.
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
Mr. Monahan, do I need to clarify anything else at this moment? Okay.
Nope, good to go. Thank you.
Okay. So our next Arizona Massage Board meeting will be Monday, November 23rd, 2020 at 9:30 a.m. It will be a digital online meeting, and the link for this will be on the Arizona State Massage website so that you can join us that way. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Kevin Ramsey, I move that we adjourn today's meeting.
Emily Clark, second.
Okay, we're going to do just a easy vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, any opposed? The motion passes. Again, I thank staff and board and everybody involved for your participation. All those that joined us as well, thank you so much for your interest in this profession and keeping it professional. So we'll see you next month. Thank you.